Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining the show right now, Odyssey MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Sure, sure. I was enjoying that music, too.
Okay.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good to know. We're going to play it more as the show goes on, I think.
Yeah.
But first, for the casual fan out there that may not know two or three of the big issues regarding this lockout, what are they?
Well, the biggest issue is money. Of course, everything revolves around the money in the end. And, you know, baseball's thriving, and you'd hope they'd be able to get together. But they made only a little progress. I do think they made a little progress in Dallas, but clearly not enough. I hope they can get together and try to figure out. I think the rhetoric, to me, looks worse than the reality. They should be able to do it. I mean, there are clearly issues. Breaking it down, again, it all comes back to the money, but free agency. Do players become a free agent after 6 years? Or as the union wants, would they like some players to be a free agent at 5 years? Is arbitration still going to be 3 years plus Super Twos, or just can they move it back to 2 years? I mean, is the draft going to have a lottery? There are a lot of different issues, but in the end, it all revolves around what percentage of the pie the owners get, what percent the players get.
John, you tell me what you think, because I told my partner the last time baseball had a work stoppage, there wasn't we're still in a pandemic now, and you mentioned the word thriving, and I do believe that, but where MLB is not thriving is new eyes on its sport and the young people. Do you think this shoots them in the foot to the degree that this is a total turnoff, the fact that, so many Americans are without and losing things?
Yeah, I don't think so, because, we're not during the season. If we're during the season and we're missing games, look at 94, 95. I mean, that was a disaster, right? You lose the World Series, 94. It was ugly. And it took that home run chase to help bring fans back to baseball. Right now, we have almost 4 months to go before the season begins. And it's going to take months. I mean, it's going to take some money. It's not going to be done quickly. But I'm hopeful that no games are missed. I mean, I've been through a couple of these, and 94, 95 is the one that really, really stung. I was not covering back in 81, where they had to split up the season, and games were missed there. But I think at this point, it'd be ugly to miss games. If they were going to miss games now, where you've got so much competition for the entertainment dollar, it would be bad. I mean, back in 94, 95, we didn't have what we have today in terms of the competition. So they better not miss games, but for now, it's bad publicity. It looks bad. It's ugly, but I don't think it's devastating at this point.
John Heyman joining us. He's the MLB Odyssey Insider. Earlier today, we had former baseball commissioner Faye Vincent on, and I want you to take a listen to something he said on the economics and particularly calling out Bud Selig.
This kind of economic warfare, after all, a collective bargaining breakdown is really economic warfare. It's two sides, each one trying to destroy the other. That cannot make sense or even harm each other. The one thing we know is everybody in baseball at the moment, from the top down, is making an enormous amount of money. I think the salary for Bud Selig when he retired was $50 million. I was paid $650,000, as was Bart and Peter Ueberoth. I think Selig's pension is $10 million. So we're talking about a business that is booming. I don't know what Manfred is paid, but he's paid an awful lot of money.
So I guess what I'm asking, John, is is that overstating it to say that these two sides are involved in economic warfare?
You know, it is about the money. I think that's fair to say. I mean, obviously, Faye Vincent was pushed out by Bud Selig and Jerry Reinsdorf, and I'm sure he's not happy about it.
Right.
It was interesting to hear that he made $650. I didn't know Selig made $50. I knew he made at least $25 million.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, that's the way America today, right? The CEO makes an enormous paycheck, and the workers not as much. You know, the differences are greater now than ever. And it's true in baseball and every other walk of life, too. So, you know, that just kind of reflects the times that we live in. I mean, am I in favor of such a disparity as one of the workers? No. But, you know, I think that's just reality. But, I mean, it's, you know, you could say that it's a war. It's certainly a battle. And, you know, it's over money. And it is between rich people and, you know, extremely rich people. So, you know, I don't think anybody really enjoys this from the outside. And it's not pretty, but like I said, if they don't miss games, I think the fans will forgive them for this.
Man, you're spot on, John, because I'm up here and I definitely don't know, you know, the inner workings of what goes on between the owners and the players union. But I have to tell you this, everything I read, everyone says they saw this coming. Am I wrong or being a simpleton to kind of blame Manfred? Because I was telling my partner, hey, look, if he knew this was coming, he's on the job. He's supposed to prevent this. Is it bigger than Rob Manfred?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, to be fair, and again, I work at MLB Network, but to be fair, you know, Rob Manfred was the chief labor negotiator before he was the commissioner, and there was labor peace for a quarter century while he held that job. You know, they had different negotiators, and obviously they were able to make deals with Michael Wiener. Unfortunately, he died much too young of a brain tumor in his 50s. You know, it's probably been 5, 6, 7 years ago now. Very sad. And now, you know, they made deals that they weren't happy with. And the union now wants to make up for those deals that they think weren't good deals. And they brought in new people, and they're tough people, you know. And it's been tough. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. But I understand the blaming of the guy who's in charge. You know, that's why he gets the big bucks, whatever it is. Even if it's not the $50 million, it's some million. And people are going to blame the guy in charge when things are not going well. And, you know, he admitted things. It's not good. This is not the way it's supposed to go. This is not what they're hoping for. But I mean, the fact that he saw it coming, you know, I mean, you know, he knew what the tenor of the negotiations was over the last 6 months. It was not looking good. And I never heard any real optimism from anybody except for one union person when they got to Dallas. And I, you know, I thought he was being a Pollyanna because everybody right. else told me there's going to be a lockout. So, you know, I think it was probably realistic. The union is trying to redo some of the stuff that they did last time and improve on that. And, you know, I get that, but, you know, I wish these team sides would talk more. I wish they would compromise more. You know, the offers on both sides have not been good enough, to be fair about it.
Right. Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us, explaining some of this. And I think you're right. As long as no games are missed, we'll all survive.
We'll live, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All right.
See you later.